The Big Bellied Yogi, where you don't need to be young, skinny, white, beautiful, or bendy to enjoy yoga, because yoga really is for everybody. Welcome back to the podcast, or if you haven't been here before, welcome. My name is Emma Paulette, and I am your host, and I have a big belly, and I do yoga. Isn't that incredible? So in today's episode, I just wanted to talk a bit about how we can practice yoga all day, every day, without moving a muscle, without hurting our bodies, and really coming into why yoga was created. It's not just about looking fantastic on a yoga mat. It's really a whole system for living a, you know, spiritual and enlightened life. And that really helps us to feel better about ourselves. So what I'm going to be talking about today is the eight limbs of yoga, but I'm going to specifically drill down into the first limb of yoga. And the reason I want to do this is, again, to help everyone understand that yoga is not just those physical practices. If you can't do a headstand, it's okay. You can still practice yoga. If you can't do a forward fold because your belly gets in the way, that's okay. You can still do yoga. So I'm sure you know this. Yoga is a very ancient system, and it was created in India. And a long time after it was created, a man called Patanjali wrote what's called the Yoga Sutras. And it's kind of a list or a text that kind of talks about all the different aspects of yoga and how it can be used in our daily lives. And what I want to point out at this point is that the Yoga Sutras do not describe a single pose. It doesn't tell you how to do a forward fold. It doesn't say that you should do downward dog. It doesn't get specific about poses or asana. It does talk about how asana is important as part of a healthy spiritual and physical life, but it doesn't talk about the actual poses themselves. And I find that really interesting because, again, we get really bogged down in all of that kind of stuff. So Patanjali wrote the Yoga Sutras in 200 CE. And I learned something doing this because I don't know if you knew this, but CE is the same as AD. So CE stands for current era. AD is a very Christian thing. It's related to when Christ was born. But CE is the same time frame as AD, but it's not related to Christianity. And of course, yoga's not necessarily a Christian practice. I mean, it wasn't created by Christians, so it doesn't make sense to talk about the time frame in a Christian context. So I learned something doing this podcast, and that is that CE is the same time frame as AD, but it means current era. Anyway, if you knew all that, just ignore me, but I thought that was fascinating. So in his Yoga Sutras, Patanjali really talked about what yoga is or what the point of yoga is. And he said it's to calm the fluctuations of our mind. And he sort of went further to say that all of these fluctuations of our mind, our busy minds, cause us pain. They cause us that confusion. They cause us comparisonitis. They cause us feelings of being let down by ourselves or by others. And so those constant busy minds is what is causing us so much of our pain. And yoga's point, or yoga's beautiful gift to us, is to help us calm the fluctuations of the mind. And if you do practice the physical practice, the asana of yoga, you know that when you're in the middle of a class, it's really hard to be thinking about, you know, your to-do list or what someone said about you. You're kind of really focused on what you're doing in the present moment, and that's the beauty of yoga. But what's fantastic is there's not just the yoga poses. There's all these other elements of yoga that help us calm the fluctuations of our mind, help to release or lower the amount of pain that we're in because of our busy minds. So Patanjali talked about the eight-limbed path of yoga, and he says that there are eight limbs and that you sort of go from the first limb all the way through to the last limb. And the last limb, samadhi, which is bliss or enlightenment. So we're trying to get through all the other seven limbs. And once we get there, we should feel blissful. We should feel enlightened. We should feel no pain. We should be in this beautiful place of bliss, for want of a better word. Now, I think it's kind of impossible to be in this place all the time, because we live in this world that's busy, and we live in this world where our minds get caught up in social media, TV, jobs, relationships, family, all that stuff. But you've experienced it, you know, in that, in a little moment of time where you feel like everything is okay and there's nothing to worry about, and you can almost feel the bliss in your body where you just feel, I don't know, happy in a way, content in a way that you don't normally feel. That's what we're aiming for when we practice yoga. But there's an eight-limbed path to get there. So I'm going to talk about the eight limbs very briefly. I've done this before in another podcast, but I'm going to go through them again. I'm going to use the Sanskrit terms, and I'm going to point out that I'm not great at Sanskrit. It's something I'm working on and I want to get better at, but please, please don't message me with, you know, explanations of how I could say things better, because I'm practicing all the time. You can tell I'm a little bit insecure about this. Anyway, so the first path is the yamas. And the yamas are sort of ethical behaviors for everyday life. So we use them in relationship with ourselves and in relationship with others. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is the different types of yamas. Then we have the niyamas, which are personal practices that we can do for ourselves. And I will talk about that in a future podcast episode. Then we have the asana, and that is the physical postures that we all kind of know as yoga. Then we have pranayama, which is the breathing practices. So a lot of people who have practiced yoga or have done meditation may have come across pranayama. So, you know, things like alternate nostril breathing and ujjayi breath and lots of different things like that. Then we have pratyahara, and I think I've said that wrong, but anyway, that's sense withdrawal. And it took me a long time to kind of understand sense withdrawal, but then someone made it really simple for me. You know, when you sit down to meditate and you close your eyes, that's sense withdrawal. So it's kind of like getting rid of other distractions and just being in within yourself, you know, turning off the TV, switching off notifications on your phone, or setting it to airplane mode or whatever, closing your eyes, letting yourself have some time to yourself. That's pratyahara. Then we have dharayana, and I've said that wrong. I'm really sorry. Dharana. Ooh, I'm sorry. But that is focused concentration. Then we have dhyana, which is meditation. And then we have samadhi, which is bliss. So these are the eight limbs. And it's a pathway to enlightenment. It's a pathway to bliss. And even if you can't practice the poses of yoga, or even if you feel like you're not that good at them, you can practice yoga, as the hashtag says, every damn day, because you can practice other elements of yoga. And the one we're going to talk about today is yamas. And they're the ethical behaviors, as I said, for everyday life. So we use these in relationship with others, but it's really incredible when we start to use these in relationship with ourselves. So the first yama is ahimsa. And ahimsa is about non-harming. So I like to think about this in lots of different ways. If we think about the way we speak about ourselves, is that harming or non-harming? We want to try to be gentle and kind to ourselves. If we think about the way, you know, commenting on people's social media posts who we don't know, and we don't know them, so we feel like we can get away with anything. Well, is that harming that person? Yes, it is. You could think about, you know, this is probably why a lot of yoga people are vegans, because they don't want to be harming animals. If we think about yoga itself, you know, we don't need to push through yoga poses to make them hard or to make our bodies hurt. That's harming as well. So there's lots of different ways that we kind of harm ourselves or others all day long. And yoga tries to get us to think about ways of non-harming, of being kind, of being gentle. So how can you practice that for yourself, or how can you start to practice that with your friends, your family, or even people you've never met? Can you say please more? Can you say thank you more? Can you look people in the eye? Can you let people finish their sentences? What can you do to create that feeling of non-harming on a day-to-day basis? The second yama is satya. And this is truthfulness. Being truthful with yourself and being truthful with others. Now, there can be a little bit of a conflict sometimes between satya and ahimsa, because sometimes if we're truthful, that can be a little bit mean. So I guess sometimes you don't have to say everything all the time. Try not to lie, but you don't have to give your opinion just because you feel like you've got to be truthful. You can be true to yourself and you can keep things to yourself at the same time. So think about how you can be truthful on a day-to-day basis. You know, be true to yourself. Are you really looking after yourself the best way that you possibly can? Is everything that goes wrong in your life someone else's problem, or is it something that you've contributed to? Like, so start to think about how you can take responsibility for yourself, but also how you can be as honest as you can with who you are out in the world and who you are to yourself. The third yama is astya, and this is about non-stealing. So hopefully this one's pretty easy. I mean, I went through a very short period of time in my teens where I did a bit of shoplifting, but generally I'm not stealing off people. But sometimes we kind of start to excuse little tiny things as it's okay. So, oh, they're not going to miss those post-it notes from work, or I'm going to clock off a little bit early but not tell anyone so I still get paid for all my hours, or I'm going to steal someone's picture off the internet and I'm not going to credit the photographer or the artist. Like, there's lots of little ways that we can steal. So start to think about that. And also, like, stealing from yourself. You know, are you not being giving and kind to yourself? Are you stealing things away? Are you stealing away your own time for yourself? You know, how can you not steal from yourself as well? The fourth yama is brahmacharya. That's one I find really hard to say, and I'm really sorry if I've got that wrong, and I'm going to keep practicing. But this is the right use of energy. And when it was originally written about, it was talking about being celibate. So let's for a moment talk about celibacy. I'm not suggesting that the whole world needs to be celibate if you're going to practice yoga. But think about your right use of energy when it comes to sexual practices. So, like, again, start to think about the other yamas. Is it non-harming? Are you being truthful? You know, are you kind of coercing your partner into having sex when they maybe don't want to? That's kind of stealing from them. So think about the right use of energy when it comes to sex and, you know, making sex part of a loving relationship as opposed to just having sex because sex feels good. But also, when we talk about the right use of energy, you know, what are you putting your energy into? Are you putting energy into things that are non-harming? Are you putting energy into things that feel good for you? Are you putting energy into things that are truthful for you? Are you doing things that sit well with your own personal values? So I think a lot of us get caught up in this where we're using our energy for things that don't feel true to ourselves. So is that something you can start working on, using your energy for the right things and the right things for you? You know, there is no right or wrong really, because you need to be truthful to yourself. And now the fifth yama is aparigraha. And this is non-greed, non-hoarding, or as I like to say, decluttering. So if so many of us now, especially in the Western world, we are trying to accumulate and have as much stuff as we can. And unfortunately, so many people get themselves into debt or into places of, you know, of financial worry because they're just accumulating more and more and more. How can you be happy with what you already have? I think gratitude's a great way of showing this. If you could practice gratitude every day for everything you already have, you may feel like you need less. You don't need to buy as much. And then in terms of decluttering as well, so besides just accumulating a lot, it's also about letting go of a lot and not holding on to things that you don't need, donating things to others, not stealing off people or stealing or harming people to get stuff off off them. So really start to think about how you can create a bit of a simpler life potentially without hoarding, without feeling greedy, without trying to have so much stuff. So these yamas, I think, are just as relevant now as they were when they were first written. You know, these are all things: non-harming, truthfulness, non-stealing, the right use of energy, potentially particularly sexual energy, not being greedy and not hoarding are all things that I think all of us can improve on and think about and practice on a day-to-day basis. So if you are so inclined, send me a message or on Instagram or comment on the blog post that goes with this podcast and tell me which one you think you could work on a little bit at the moment. I would love to hear what you have to say. And don't forget, there is a little yoga practice that you can do every time you listen to the podcast. So if you want to have a watch or a practice of yoga while you listen to this podcast again, potentially, or listen to the next one, you can go to emmapaulette.com/podcast/EP3. And there'll be more information about this podcast, a bit more of the words written down. So it might be a little bit easier for you to understand what I've been trying to say, my terrible pronunciation, but also that yoga practice is there for you as well. So thanks so much for listening, and I look forward to bringing you more about the 8 limbs of yoga over the next few weeks, and I will speak to you soon. Take care. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow me on Instagram @emma.paulette and follow the podcast on Spotify.